is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome here to the Christian War Room. And we are talking about political correctness. And I think it's a very sore point for some people. When you look at the face of it, again, just let me call up the website, see whether I can find them. Political correctness. Let me just look at the definition, what it's supposed to mean, and it's not really that bad. The term is used to refer to language that seems intended to give the least amount of offense, especially when describing groups identified by external markers, such as race, gender, culture, or sexual orientation. The concept is being discussed, disputed, criticized, and satirized by commentators from across the political spectrum. The term has often been used derisively to ridicule the notion that altering language usage can change public's perception and beliefs, as well as influence and outcomes. It's an article where this definition is taken from, and again, like in the Nazi days, political correctness was considered to be, along with the political line of the party. Within Russia, in the Soviet times, they pretty much had the same idea about that. So it literally meant what it stands for. And today it's slightly different. Political correctness has got very little to do with politics, but it's more to do with the whole idea of being offended or insulting somebody. And it's really bizarre. It seems to be some people on a mission to force language changes and to disallow certain words. It's a little bit crazy. It's a little bit crazy what we get. I'm going to pick up a list. Let me see whether I can find this. I took some notes early on, and let's see whether I can get this up here on the internet. And I want to sort of show you what terms, come out of this. Let me just try it again here on the internet. And what, yeah, I'm not sure, a lot of it is cheek and ton, but we're gonna listen to this. Last time when we talked about this, we were looking at 1984, the book written by George Orwell, and we had the Newspeak people and, the people who rewrite history and, the total control, and also that something bad was labeled with something really good. So, for example, the Department of Love or the Ministry of Love was actually quite horrendous and was, being quite horrible, where people were put into prison, into some sort of concentration camp, and so on. We've got, and this is from a right-wing website, it's just a list of words they came up with. And I'm not quite sure how serious to take all this, but some of the stuff I've heard before. Let's go through some of the words. I've got about 100 expressions on here. Some of them I've seen before and I've heard, and some of them are not there. So, for example, the term stupid. Yeah, you couldn't, say somebody is stupid these days, and it's considered to be very a big no-no. And obviously, language changes over time. When you when you get a King James Bible, just to give you an example, and you look at the language within the King James Bible, it is very, very different. Even though it's written in English, but over 400 years, the usage of the English language has changed, and some words which made perfect sense in the 1600s, people won't understand today anymore. And so it can be a little bit of a problem. Okay, let's have a look at some. And so, some words change, and it's just like the way language goes. Yeah, it changes over time. I understand you can see it in Latin as well. When you look at Latin, you can actually determine the period the Latin was used. And to be fair, Latin was used right up to medieval days. So it didn't finish with the Roman Empire. But based on the syntax and a couple of other things, I'm told, I'm not a Latin expert, you can actually pinpoint the century the language was used by just reading a book or an article or something in Latin. Okay, let's have a look at some of the terms which are used. Dustbin man, it's here, it's sanitation engineer. Fair enough, yeah. Insult, and it's interesting as well. There's a term which is used today, and this is a politically correct term, and probably, really changing what's going on, making it much worse. We all get insulted all day long. I mean, I work as a teacher, and I've worked as a teacher for about, coming up to 30 years. I'm not sure. I think it's about 25 or something. But anyway, I do get insulted all the time, and if I chose to be offended, I wouldn't be happy anymore. Yeah. It's just, obviously, you have to do a job. You have to lay into students. You have to, again, using this terminology, you have to put pressure on students. That's what I mean with laying into students. You have to put pressure on students to get the work done they have to do in order so that they can pass a course with a level of integrity. And they don't like it. Yeah. And so sometimes they call you stuff behind your back, which is not very nice, and you hear it. And what do you do? Do you get offended? You know, do you get insulted? Anyway, the term which is used for insult is emotional rape. Emotional rape. Rape is quite a bad term. And I was looking at one of the pictures. There was one town somewhere in America, and they were, rape seed. Short term for rape seed is rape. So that's, the yellow plants. And they were just putting the town up, the name of the town, the home of rape and something else. Yeah. And obviously some people got upset about this, and it's politically no longer correct, so they had to change the title. I thought it was quite funny, I'm sure, especially with the picture in the background, everybody knew what was meant, but people can choose to be offended, and a lot of people were choosing to be offended by this, and it had to be changed in this modern climate. What else have we got? We've got immigrant, we've got newcomer, and then we've got illegal immigrant, and the politically correct term is undocumented worker or undocumented immigrant. And actually that's used at times. I've seen it used, and I'm kind of thinking to myself, this is just crazy. So they use language to, because you can't call them illegals, because that is discriminatory and it's a small group and all that. The reality is, if somebody enters a country illegally, they are illegals. It doesn't deflect on the value of the person. Yeah, it just describes the status. Yeah, the problem we have sometimes is that we try to, to stay away from descriptive words. Again, words, when we look at race, over time, when you look at how the whole thing has changed, we've got the African-American. Yeah. So not long ago, they were called Negroes. Again, this sounded very close to the term, which is not supposed to be used, but it's a factual term. It was used for hundreds of years, and suddenly it's a really bad term. Then you were supposed to use the term black instead of Negro. So you called them blacks or black people. Like white people are called white people. And I'm a white person, but I'm not really white. I'm more sort of pinkish than white. But again, called somebody black who isn't really black, but maybe dark-skinned. Today an offense, a few years ago it wasn't an offense, it wasn't an insult, but calling me white, even though I'm not white, maybe I could choose to be offended because I'm not really white, I'm sort of piggy colorish, slightly pink, I don't know, but anyway, all it is descriptive, but people get all upset about it, and so we had to call them coloreds, then African-American. And then, again, it probably doesn't make sense as well because most of these people have been in America for 5, 6, up to 10 generations. Yeah, they're as much American as anybody else, after this long period of time. And the whole political correctness thing sort of burns itself out on this. Okay, what else have we got? We have got other terms as well. Let's have a look. Some interesting words I'm trying to look for. A broken home. Again, in the ordinance, everybody knew what a broken home was. A kid coming from a broken home, and today it's a dysfunctional family. Very, very interesting terms as well. Caretaker is a site engineer. Jungle today is no longer a jungle, but it's a rainforest. What else have we got? Sex change. Politically no longer correct, so it's gender reassignment. Big question. Can you assign gender? It's an interesting thing, because that actually changes the whole thing. Even sex change. Can you change your sex? The answer is, my opinion, very clearly, no, you can't, yeah, because you are born one way, and you know, you still have got a billion or a trillion cells in your body. Is it about 6 trillion cells, which will either have two X chromosomes or an X and a Y chromosome, and that pretty much defines who and what you are. Unemployed, economically inactive. And it's interesting as well. So he went from jobless to unemployed, and possibly now economically inactive. Husband and wife are now partners. That's a politically correct term, because you don't want to reveal whether you are straight or gay. Possibly, I don't know what's behind this. Let's have a look what other things we have here, what other terms. Yeah, we've got a blackboard. Again, black is a bad word these days, so we have to call it chalkboard. I'm always used to whiteboard. It's a whiteboard, and you use colored pens on it, you know, dry marker pens. And I've been corrected that it is actually a wipe board, because you can wipe it off. I wonder how long this talks, how long this lasts, you know, wipe instead of white. And again, white is just descriptive. It hasn't got any racial connotation. I'm not referring to a whiteboard as a Caucasian board. I wouldn't suggest that a whiteboard is better than a blackboard or anything like that. But some people, they just get over the top, and they cannot allow certain language items, you know, which suddenly become almost illegal, and we've got now the whole hate speech thing, and the hate speech thing is actually getting quite serious. You can go to prison for that, yeah, the way legislation has come out. And I find it very interesting as well. In Germany, I was looking at the legislation which came out, and there's no definition. I mean, before, if you insulted somebody, you could, and somebody felt really insulted, you could take that person to court. Yeah. And you could try and press charges or compensation for it, for, you know, being hurt, or litigation, or what, you know, in any way whatsoever. Nowadays, it's almost like a public crime. I'm not quite sure what the status in different countries is for the whole hate speech law, but if somebody feels offended by what you say, then they've got a perfect right to take you in front of the judge. And I'm sometimes thinking, you know, grow up. We all get insulted. We all get, you know, in trouble every now and then. People are always saying nasty stuff about us. Just take it, you know. Just take it. Be a man, be a woman of standing. And don't worry about it. You know, move on. Move on with your life. Okay, what else have we got? We've got a manhole. Yeah, I'm not sure whether it's an American word. It means it's a street hole, you know, like a cover which you have in the street for the canalization or something, so that nobody falls into it. And that was called a manhole, partly because it was meant for people to go down the hole to get into the canalization. That's no, because it says man, yeah. Manhole, that's... politically incorrect. Yeah, it should be, could be a woman hole or a man hole. Some women, they get really upset about this. So they have to call it utility hole. Postman has to be mail carrier now. I don't know. It's, I can sort of understand to a certain extent, but I think it goes a little bit over the top. When you've got a rational fear, it's now called a phobia. Okay, I've heard some stuff. Flip chart is now supposed to be an easer because flip is a derogatory derogatory word for Filipinos. Again, no idea. Didn't know this. Mexican apparently is now Hispanic in the political correct version. Again, no idea. No idea. I didn't think that calling somebody Mexican was an offense. Yeah. It's just a description. It's just a descriptive word. Right, what else have we got? Waitress is no longer a waitress, but it's a server. Why is waitress a derogative term? Why can't we use the word waitress anymore? I don't know. I'm not quite sure how implemented this is. Forefathers are now ancestors. Manmate, again, we can't use manmate anymore because the word man is in there. Even though, you know, depending on the context you use the word man, it can mean woman or man or people. You know, it can be a single person or it can be a lot of people, regardless of sex or gender or whatever it's called today. But we can't use it anymore. But man-made is now artificial. Yeah. We've got manpower. It's now human resources. And it's quite interesting as well. The term manpower has virtually disappeared. But as remembered, sort of from the 80s, that this term was used quite often. Mankind is now humanity. A Christian name doesn't exist anymore because we cannot, we cannot upset our, you know, Muslim friends and anybody else. So the Christian name has to go away and it's now the forename. Right, let's have a look, see what else we get here. Deaf doesn't exist anymore because it could be offensive. So it's a hearing impairment or the hearing impaired person. Disease has disappeared as well and is now a disorder. Plastic surgery, not cosmetic surgery. Yeah. Anyway. Lots of terms which are used. There's a list of, I didn't go through all of them, I just sort of stuck some on. It's a list of 100 words. Some of them I think are made up, and if they are not made up, I feel sorry for mankind or humankind, especially within the English language spectrum. Crazy. Very, very crazy. Okay, why are we in the Christian War Room talking against this stuff? Because we need to be aware of what's going on. I mean, one example is the whole abortion thing. Now, abortion from a Christian point of view is a really terrible thing. There's human life which has been created at conception, and it's living in the woman's belly, and it's developing, it's getting consciousness, there's a soul involved with it, there's a soul and a spirit in this embryo. And this embryo, as it is growing up, you know, is just desiring love and care. And what we find is that, you know, if the pregnancy is not at the right time in one's life, it can be a lifestyle choice. And this is what we are pretty much preach, because what is inside your womb is nothing human. It's something which is going through the evolutionary stages inside your womb, from being a fish to being a human. So if you kill it, you know, before it is a fully fledged human, that's pretty much the theory which is sort of propagated through the theory of evolution. If you kill it before it is, you know, it's got its fingers and stuff like that, and so they say up to 3 months, and I think in Britain was up to 6 months or something, then it's okay. You can kill a baby in the womb, and you can terminate the pregnancy, and everything is over. The baby is dead, or the fish is dead, and it's nothing more than having, you know, going to the fish shop and having fish and chips. No, the tragedy is, and we know this, that this is not the case. You know, there's a fully fledged human being inside the mother's womb. And this fully fledged human being has got a right to life. It's got a right to be grown and to live. Yeah, it's come out of a union from man and woman. It should have happened inside of marriage to have this protective layer of this child being born in a committed relationship, so that there are two people who commit to raise up this child and to do their utmost to bring this child up. And anyway, morals and everything, they've slid down. And we find that it's sometimes at a very inconvenient time. And women decide, or even the fathers decide, that the baby has to be put to death. And so rather than calling it abortion, or to calling the lobby abortion, which is a connotation of something negative, abortion means you're getting rid of something, they call it pro-choice. Yeah? So you've got the pro-life and the pro-choice movement. And pro-choice, you know, what choice have you got and what choice are you talking about? It's a choice of taking a human life, of taking the human life of your own flesh and blood, of your own offspring. And that is sort of the tragedy we've got, you know, within language, where something becomes something negative is portrayed as really positive. And that is political correctness. We've got the, no, if I came to you and I said to you, you know, if you engage in a certain practice, you are much more likely to contract illnesses and diseases. You're probably getting infected. There's a good chance that this is going to kill you. It's going to get you depressed, and you will most likely, you know, be on psychopharmaca for a long time to sort you out. It's not going to make you happy. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's a generally destructive lifestyle involved with a lot of risks. You may get some friendship out of it, and it may be, you know, a good thing to some extent, but there's an element in it which is potentially going to kill you. And that is pretty much when you look at homosexual relationships. Now, men and women, they're made in a way, designed in a way that there is a lot of protection between them, so that the likeliness of infecting one another with certain diseases is there if you change your partners regularly. But if you're in a committed relationship, if you've got your wife and you've got your husband, you stay together, you don't stray, it's highly unlikely that this is going to destroy you. Your immune system is going to build up, and you'll be okay as partners, and you're unlikely to infect one another. If you're in a homosexual relationship, it's a different story. You know? There are a lot of issues, and nobody ever talks about this. But when you look at statistics, the rate of suicide is extremely high. I think it's about 8 times higher than in the normal population. The rate of sexually transmitted diseases is extremely high. And there are a lot of other things, you know, which come with this lifestyle, which are very, very dangerous. And yet, we've got a lobby that shouts out equality, and they want to give a relationship, which potentially is destructive, doesn't really produce anything in the sense of, you know, the next generation doesn't have an input into the next generation, and people are crying out to give it the same status as, you know, heterosexual couples, a man and a woman who decide to pool their fortunes together, to go through life together, to produce the next generation, and to invest into the next generation as well. Again, it's sort of, obviously, I'm simplifying it to a heavy extent, and I'm probably getting a lot of people upset at this point. But again, this is the whole thing about political correctness, where this is a minority, we need to protect this minority, and therefore we need to give the minority all the rights they're asking for. The interesting thing is they didn't even ask, as far as I'm aware of here in Britain, the gay community didn't ask for for the whole marriage thing. They got what they wanted with the civil partnership, that they had certain rights and certain abilities to protect assets and things like that and transfer them from one to the other and so on. I mean, that was there, and they weren't asking for more. But then people who weren't part of this community were giving them much more than what they asked for in some strange reason. I want to sort of just briefly turn to a scripture. The scripture is in Isaiah chapter 5, And let me just see whether I can call it up. It's a King James Version. And it says here, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. And that is pretty much what's happening with political correctness, that something which is not so good is called something good and positive. Yeah. Murdering a baby is no longer abortion, but is pro-choice. Encouraging people to enter into a gay relationship is now called equality. And the lifestyle is preached to young children, you know, from a young age onwards, that this is a perfectly acceptable lifestyle, instead of, you know, encouraging them to go the normal way. And again, nobody really looks at all the other side of this lifestyle, the destruction that is within this lifestyle, the suffering and also the heartache that comes with it. And again, it's a big, big problem. You know, people are just running blind through life and they are turning things upside down. Okay, let's have a look at the time. How much time have we got? We've got a few minutes left. Political correctness is very, very dangerous, in my opinion. A lot of stuff gets, made pretty and made sound pretty, but in reality, it's really bad. You know, if you've got cancer and somebody comes to you and says, oh, there's going to be more of you, you've got an increase in body cells, which you didn't have before, so they don't just replace themselves, but they grow. You will have more substance than what you had before. So call cancer a substance increase. I mean, I'm. This is cheek and ton, you know. Maybe I shouldn't joke with this, but that's pretty much what people are doing with this lifestyle. So something has gone dramatically wrong, and people put a pretty label on it. But the reality is that, like with cancer, if you don't treat it, you don't deal with it, you don't cut it out, and you don't treat the rest of it, it's eventually going to kill you. And so you need to give it the right treatment. And when we're talking about our lives, it's the same thing. We need to call whatever we are facing, whatever it is, and we need to deal with it. For example, sin is not a deficiency of some sort, or maybe a misguidance. Sin is sin. Yeah? If you do something wrong, you do something wrong. If you are a thief, you are not a disappropriator or a requisitioner. Yeah. Without permission or whatever you want to call it, you are a thief. If you are, if you've got a problem in a certain area in your life, you've got this problem and you need to call it by its name and you need to call it what it is. And if it is sin, it is sin, and you need to deal with the sin. And we know as Christians that there's only one way to deal with it, and this is to get the sin and come straight to God and to lay it down before the throne of God and to repent. And to believe, put our trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, for the forgiveness of our sins. And at that point, the power of sin is broken all our lives. Jesus says that whoever does sin is mastered by sin. He is a slave to sin. And we need to break this power of sin. And the only way we can do this is through accepting and receiving Jesus Christ in our lives. And political correctness is not, all it's doing is it's just whitewashing something that is really dark and black. And we can't allow this. And as Christians, we have to be very careful to not buy into this deception. We have to be very careful to not accept whatever is put in front of us. And a lot of Christians just gobble it all up and they are all inclusive and tolerant because that is the zeitgeist, but it's not going to get us anywhere. There's only one way, and this way is Jesus Christ. And if we miss this way, we're going to go to hell. And this is the inconvenient truth. God bless here at the Christian War Room. Tune in for more tomorrow.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.